School Chorus will be with us, and their families in Auburntown is dismissing their services to join us. David Dunn will speak tonight, which is always a treat, and then the chorus will perform. Just want to invite you to be back. We'll have visitors, and they're used to starting on time, so they'll be here early. So I'd invite you to come and welcome our visitors. And I really do feel this way when we have these events. It's like inviting folks into our home. So let's be here to welcome them and enjoy being together tonight. And then we'll have a fellowship meal following their performance. So we'll kind of have a little shorter service and have them perform. So if you'll bring some food items and stay, we'll fellowship together. And it's always a good time. So I hope that you'll be back with us tonight at 6 o'clock for that event this evening. Talk this morning about what God calls us to, and kind of look at it in two phases and spend a little more time with the second one. But Jesus tells a story, or tells a truth, I believe, and it's about what happens when an evil spirit, when a demon has been cast out. That's a little unusual for us in our times, but I want us to look at what the real meaning behind that phraseology is. Jesus says when a demon's cast out, he says he goes through the arid places, through the desert places, looking for a place to dwell or a place to rest. And if he doesn't find a place, he'll come back to where he was, to the place that's been cleaned up, this person who's had this demon out, to this room that's been cleaned up, and he'll come back and bring his friends, and the person's in worse shape. The latter state is worse than the first state. Now, what does that mean? What application does that have for us today? And that's what I want to talk about for just a moment this morning. God has called us really to be about two things in our lives. One is about cleaning our lives of unrighteousness. And God has called us to stay away from darkness, from those things that are unrighteous. And light and dark, especially for John, as an analogy that he uses to explain that. And what does light and darkness have to do with each other? They are in opposition. Light drives out the darkness. And he talks about God himself. He says, God is light. That's how God is described. The scripture describes God is light. That God is light, and in him is how much darkness? No darkness at all. There's no darkness in God. In fact, when John in the Revelation sees the new heaven and the new earth, there's not a sun, which is totally foreign to our whole knowledge of how the solar system works today, right? Because the sun does what? It provides us heat and light, and everything we have is because of the sun, right? You may not realize that, but the sun provides the energy that drives everything else. Even if we don't harvest it with a solar panel, it is what drives everything. For those of us who are cattlemen, who are grass farmers, we're taking sunlight and turning it into an edible protein via grass. That's really the process of raising ruminants, is to turn sunlight into protein. If you hadn't thought about that, because all grass is they're solar panels, taking in sunlight into those leaves and through the process of photosynthesis, turning it into something that grows, and then the cattle and sheep are able to eat that and turn that into something we can eat, because we don't do real well eating grass. We're not designed to eat grass and digest it, but we turn that into an edible protein. Now, the reason I give you that is there's no sun. Plus, we know what time it is, right? And y'all know doggone what time it is and know what time I'm supposed to be finished, and don't think that I don't recognize that. The reason I say it, we know what time, we know the season, it's springtime, because why? Because the earth rotates and revolves around the sun on a certain schedule, and it is routine. Well, what if there were no sun? And that's what John sees. But why is there no sun? Because God will be in our very presence. He will be our light. He will take care of all of those things that we need. God will be there. He is light. And in God there is no darkness. So we have been called not to be indwelled with darkness, nor to deal with those things of the dark. It used to be, and it's really kind of changed now in our culture, used to be when would people break in the night. Now when are most houses broken into? 10 o'clock in the morning, when everybody's gone, right? It's just a change, but it don't. When do people get drunk? In the night. I'm not making these things up. That's what the Scripture talks about. In the darkness. And the Scripture says, don't deal with those things that are of the darkness. Be people of the light. In fact, John would say, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. To walk in the light, not to be involved in those things that are unholy, that are of darkness. To have our lives in order, if you will. And I think we understand that. And that's what partly what God has called us to. But what's the other part of that? And that's what I really want us to focus on this morning. Although the other is important, we'll talk about that more in the future. But what else has God called us to? Not only to get the unholiness, the unrighteousness out of our lives. And we all know we still struggle with that. And that's why there is forgiveness. Because when John talks about walking in the light, as we try to walk in the steps of Jesus, unlike Him, we are imperfect. But not only has God called us to put away those things that are sinful, but God has called us then to fill our lives with righteousness, with holiness, to fill our lives with being about God's business. Because if the demon goes out, if the evil goes out, and doesn't find a place, it comes back and our lives are clean and neat and orderly, but empty, what happens? The demon moves back in, right? And brings his friends because, hey, they've upgraded the place. That's really what Jesus, that's the story Jesus is telling. And when he brings his friends, it's just like renting to a college student and they bring all their buddies over for spring break. You've got problems. But what should we do with our houses that are our lives? Fill them with righteousness. Not only clean them out and put them in order, but fill them with doing God's business so there is not room in our lives for evil. I don't know that we hear it as much as I heard it as a kid, and I don't know whether it's we don't say it as much or we say it more to kids. And it's always a quoted, it's always attributed to our grandmother. Everybody's grandmother said this, that what, idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? Or idle minds. But around our family, it was hands because our minds weren't strong enough to really matter. So it was our hands. But what's that? We're going to fill life with something. How many times have you heard said, well, sports are a good thing because they keep kids out of trouble, or playing music is a good thing, it keeps them out of trouble, or being involved in something, because it keeps kids out, because we're all going to do something with our time. And if we've got too much of it on our hands that's not productive, we will find something else to get into. That's what Jesus is saying. If we don't fill our lives with righteousness, then the evil will come back. It will come back. And so we need to fill our lives with being about God's business. Jesus gives us a scene of judgment. And we've got, it's divided into the sheep and the goats. And that would have been something very familiar with them, that the sheep go to the right and the goats go to the left. All right? And so the shepherd would separate them. And Jesus says, in the same way, God will separate the sheep from the goats. Those who are people of the kingdom from those who are not people of the kingdom. This has nothing to do with whether you raise sheep or goats. I don't want to get into that discussion because I know now people are shifting from goats to sheep. We used to see all kind of goats. Now we see sheep. But I understand that Jim has a lot of goats on their way today. And so, Jim, we're not talking about your goats. Sheep and goats. And Jesus gives the criteria for the judgment. All right? How does God separate the sheep from the goats? And this has always struck me as an interesting separation. Because probably for most of us, we would think about the separation more on the side of who's getting their house clean. That's how most of us are geared. We would make that judgment on who is cleaning out the house. We would think that the separation of the sheep and goat would be based on, all right, we're looking at them, the goats would be, you're a liar, that makes you a goat. You're an adulterer, that makes you a goat. You steal, that makes you a goat. You're a drunkard, that makes you a goat. And you're not, so that makes you a sheep. We could add all kind of different categories, but for most of us, as we think about judgment, are those not the things that we think about? And when we think about sin, when we think about missing the mark of holiness, that's what sin is, missing the mark of holiness, we think about those things that we do that are wrong. These things are wrong. And we can go through a list of those. And there are things that are wrong, right? Things that God has called us not to do. Things that are of darkness that people of light don't do at any degree. I mean, we don't walk in the darkness. But when Jesus explains to us the separating of the sheep and the goats where God divides, that's not the criteria. That's not the conversation that he has with the sheep and the goats. Not that that's unimportant, but I think it's important that probably to all of these groups, they've kind of gotten their houses in order. They have cleaned them out at one point. At least in their lives, they would certainly not be perfect. But I think for most of those folks, say, you know, we're pretty good. It's like the prayer of the Pharisee and the sinner. You remember that? Where the Pharisee prayed, I'm glad you didn't make me like this sinner who did all this thing. And what did the sinner say? Just have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. What's the difference? But the Pharisee felt right because he had not done these things that are wrong. But here's the criteria. Here's the separation. And it catches the sheep and the goats off guard. Both of them are caught off guard by the judgment. Because the judgment is this, as he makes separation. To the sheep on the right, he said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. And the sheep who were divided to the right and the goats who were divided to the left, who the same question was, and in the judgment it was, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was sick and in prison, you didn't visit me and care for me. And both groups said, Lord, when did we ever see you in any of these conditions? When did we ever see you like this? And the response is, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And so the separation was not based on the cleaning of the house. It was based on the life filled with holiness and righteousness. It was on a life filled with being about God's business, caring for the needs of others, physically, in this case. But I believe we're called to care for each other emotionally, physically, and spiritually. As people of the family of God, we have responsibility for each other and should have a burning desire for those who are lost to show them the truths of God. That should motivate us. We should be about that, not because it's about numbers, but it's about people. Because we understand the consequences of not knowing God. We understand the consequences of not surrendering to the will of Jesus. And so there's that separation. So it is not only cleaning out our houses, but are we filling our lives, our houses, with righteousness? Are we about God's business? Are we about bringing glory to God? Are we living our lives in such a way that people will see our good works and glorify God, our Father, who lives in heaven? Because that's what Jesus calls us to do, to live in such a way that God is glorified by our lives. Not just keeping ourselves clean, not just getting our house in order, but by using our lives to be in service to others. I know I've shared most of the analogies I've shared with you before, so you may not remember them, but I'll share it again. I'll never forget a very frustrating conversation I had years ago when I was in the office products business. And we warehoused quite a bit of stuff. And, you know, to make that warehouse run efficiently, you really need it to be fairly neat and in order. So everything has its place so you can grab it and fill it and go, right? So if that's your job about keeping the warehouse in order, you really take some pride. If you're good at that, you like your shelves to be neat and clean and everything to be there. But it's not appropriate for the warehouse person who's keeping it neat and clean and orderly to get frustrated because you're selling stuff off of the shelves and they can't keep them neat. Now, right? Because why do you have the stuff on the shelf? To sell it. If y'all miss that, to sell it. Setting neat. Nobody comes by and says, oh, I want to pay you to see your neat, clean warehouse. It is about efficiently moving product. The reason I say that is that seems like a no-brainer, right? But I really had a discussion with somebody who was frustrated that we were moving product and they couldn't keep their shelves neat. I appreciated the desire to keep it neat, but their frustration that we were doing our thing bothered me greatly because I still remember it. The reason I say that, God has not called us just to keep our shelves clean. God has called us to be about the business of serving Him. Just to have full, neat, clean shelves and not sell out of them is not profitable. Doesn't make sense. There's no reason to do that, right? We all get that. The same thing is true in our lives. Just keeping our shelves clean is not what God has called us to. He's called us about from the overflow of our blessings to be in service to Him. And if we miss that, we're really not serving God in the way that He's called us to do. Sometimes we're just satisfied staying clean. Here's what James says about pure religion. Pure religion that is undefiled and is acceptable to both God and man is to keep oneself unspotted from the world, to keep ourselves clean, right? And what's the other part of that? To care for widows and orphans in their affliction. Part of it is to keep ourselves unspotted. The other part is to be of service. And guess what? One works with the other. How is the best way to stay unspotted from the world? It's to be busy doing God's business. That's what Jesus is saying in this story. If we aren't busy filling our lives, the demons come back. And they are worse. Here's what Peter will say, and we will close. Peter said, it's one thing to be away from God. But the terrible thing is to know the truths of God and to know the blessings of God and then to leave them. And he's very graphic in his description. He said, it is like a dog who returns to his vomit. Or like a hog, a pig that's been cleaned and then returns to the mud to wallow. Once we've known the truths of God, it's a terrible thing to go back. But it happens. Recidivism is a term we'd use in our prisons. And recidivism, to go back. If you're a Raising Arizona fan, recidivism. Not a pretty name, is it? That's what Peter's talking about. Recidivism, going back. But how do we avoid that? By filling our lives with the blessings of God. Filling our lives in service to God. Being about God's business. Jesus at age 12 goes to the temple. Why? When Mary and Joseph said, "We've looked all over Jerusalem, we're worried sick about you. Are you okay? I'm going to kill you." You know, that's that response. Because they would have been worried sick. And Jesus said, "Did you not know that I would be about my Father's business?" We need to be about the Father's business. Not only keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, but caring for widows and orphans in their affliction. Not only keeping ourselves clean, but being about service to God. Not only caring for their needs, but sharing the good news of Jesus and eternal life found in His Son. Jesus is coming soon. We're in the last days, have been for 2,000 years. God's not slack concerning His promises, but He'll return, but He wants all men everywhere to repent. But Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you about His business? Not only is our lives clean, but we're about service. If you've never been washed in the blood of Jesus, never been buried with Him in baptism and raised to walk in a newness of life, we'd encourage you to come today. If you're a Christian and you know that you've just not been about God's business and you want the prayers of our shepherds, we'd encourage you to come. And for all of us, I hope that we refocus our lives and with enthusiasm we get about God's business. Because what greater thing than to be in service of the King? It's not a burden, it's a joy to be about God's business, keeping our lives pure and unspotted and living in such a way that God is glorified. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to think, I've lived in a way that people have seen God in me and God has received the glory? What greater thing could there be? If you need to come, do that while we stand.